Okay, hello everyone. It's Bobbi Palmer here. I'm the dating and relationship coach for women over 40. So it's my job, it's actually really my passion to help you date like a grown-up so you can go out into the world feeling great about yourself, having fun, and attracting the right men. There are tons of these smart, confident, relationship-minded men out there who want to meet a woman just like you. And I believe that the reason you're not connecting with these guys is because you just don't understand them. And by the way, I agree they don't understand you, but my job is educating you, not them. So here's the thing. When we have a lack of understanding, that often creates confusion and a feeling of lack of control, right? And what we don't know or can't control can easily turn into fear and be seen as danger. So how does this fear play out in the dating world? We either opt out of dating altogether, or we put up walls to protect ourselves. I call the wall I used to put up my wall of I dare you. I dare you not to like me because I'm smart and independent. I dare you not to respect me. I dare you to like me for the wrong reasons. I dare you to be a superficial jerk and not see past my fat thighs into my big open heart. You know those walls, right? Looking back, I can't see how that ever protected me. All my wall of I dare you did was keep me from the good guys. And it was very much based on fear. So today I'm bringing you factual information about men, and it's coming straight from the men. When you know how men think and feel, when you know how we differ and how we are the same, I know your fear will dissipate. And what will come is a new appreciation and a compassion for men. When some of the myths are dispelled and you get the real insight into how men see women, dating, and relationships, this can only help you in your dating. And really, it's going to help you relate to men in every part of your life. Your fathers, your brothers, coworkers, and friends, any men that you come in contact with, a better understanding of them is going to be an advantage to you, and it's going to make life happier. So remember, what you are about to hear is coming from the horse's mouth, because I realize I can tell you 100 times that men want women just like you, and you can choose not to believe me. But when you hear it straight from the guys, I don't believe you can ignore it. It will rock your world. Be prepared for that. So tonight, we're going to talk to three men, Dyke, Marcus, and Norman. They're just normal guys. They range in age from 42 to 71. One is single and dating, and two are single in committed relationships. I have not coached them in any way, so they are just speaking, not knowing what I'm going to ask, and they are going to be real for you. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Dyke and Marcus now, and then I'm going to introduce you to Norman a little bit after we get started. Dyke is 53 years old. He's a former physician, and now he's a life coach and a business coach, and he's also a trainer. Dyke has been divorced twice. He's in a committed relationship, but he's not sure about marriage. He's got two adult children, and he likes hiking, camping, sea kayaking, cooking, writing, reading, traveling. Sounds like a good personal ad, doesn't it? So I asked each of these guys to just tell me something about relationships. Here's what Dyke said. Men are simple beasts, and it is quite easy to keep them very, very happy. I like that. Men are simple beasts, and it's quite easy to keep them very, very happy. And then there's Marcus. Marcus is age 42. He lives in Oakland, California. Marcus is a CEO of SMF Media LLC. In case that's not enough acronyms for you, he's a CEO of your single male friend, Media. This is a great group of guys that help women date, and they're single guys. It's perfect. Divorced and currently single, Marcus is looking for a long-term relationship, and he really wants to be serious monogamous. He has two children. He likes movies, music, sports, a good TV show, hanging out with friends, long drives, and good deep conversation. And listen, this is what Marcus says about relationships. Your relationships are what you make them. Understand that life and relationships are not a Julia Roberts movie. Your relationships are what you make them. Understand that life and relationships are not a Julia Roberts movie. Really good. We think so much that our life should be like the movies. And it's just not, it's not real. It's not real. So anyway, let's hear from them. I'm going to start with my first question to Dyke. What is the one thing you wish women knew about men that you don't think we know? What's the one thing you wish women knew about men that you just don't think we know?
They'll be upset about something. And as a man, I'll try to fix it. What you really want to do is just vent. And see, guys don't necessarily know how to do that. When you bring us a problem, we want to fix it. We want to help you feel better. We want to ease your pain. We want to do what we can to be of help. And sometimes you just want to vent. So I have a relation. I have an agreement that anymore I do this with anybody that I meet. It's like, look, if you want me to help, tell me you want me to help. If you want me to just listen, tell me to just listen. Because when I know what you're looking for, I can give it to you. But otherwise, my default setting is to try and fix it. Because I want you to feel happy. I want to help you be happy.
Amen, Dyke.
And the other one is, if you feel uncomfortable asking for what you want, Marcus, try this one on. How many times have you been approached by a woman who you know that they're uncomfortable and there's something you can do to make them happy, but they feel that if they have to tell you, it doesn't count?
Oh man, that is so on the money. Because it goes back to that mind reading thing, right? You should just know. My favorite thing is you should just know.
Right. If you knew me well enough and if you cared enough, you would know.
See, I'm not going to tell you what I want and what I need. You have to guess, because if I tell you, it doesn't count. If I tell you and you give me exactly what I want, it doesn't count because I had to tell you.
That's right.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Good that you guys know that. Yeah.
You know, can I make a quick point?
Sure.
Because there's a movie called The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. And I tell people, anybody who's ever had any kind of relationship, that they should see this movie because it depicts the breakdown of a relationship so perfectly. And it has an argument where they are fighting about cleaning the kitchen. And Jennifer Aniston is over the top angry at Vince Vaughn because he hasn't helped her do the dishes. So he gets up and he says, oh, I'll help you do the dishes. And she said, no, don't do it now, because I want you to want to do the dishes. And his return is, why would I want to do dishes? Which is exactly the kind of argument that women always have.
It is. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. That's great. Okay, thanks, you guys. I think you made a really good point, and I think that we've talked about this, you know, with my coaching, with my telecourse a lot, but it helps so much to hear it from you.
But see, the reason I say men are easy is because if you tell us what you want, we're more than happy to give it to you 99% of the time.
Amen.
I mean, overjoyed, right?
Yeah.
And it goes all the way into the bedroom and everything.
Thank you. That's true. So easy, you just want to make us happy. Okay, let's bring Norman in. Norman, you there?
I'm here.
Hello. Thank you for your patience. And thank you so much for participating. I really appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to do a quick introduction for you, Norman, and then ask you the same question. Norman is 71. He actually hails from New York and lives here now, but kind of back and forth New York to L.A. Norman is retired. He's a widower after 43 years of marriage. He's currently dating.
Nice.
No children. And you enjoy running, swimming, movies, reading. And Norman, here's your question. If you could tell women one thing that you think they don't know, what would it be?
Okay, well, before I begin, let me just say that I do have a couple of kids. I do have two children.
I know. I thought you did. It said no kids on my paper. Sorry about that, Norman.
And I have a couple of grandchildren.
You have grandkids, yeah. Okay.
So I'm in that category.
Thank you.
And your question was what men don't know about. I'm taking a different tack here. I don't believe in categorizing women and men in the areas that you're discussing. I think that it's people, and people in all different kinds of areas relate to other people. There probably are a lot of nuances and differences between men and women, and there's no question about that. What you have to really focus on is the communication and what they have in common. And you're operating in a dating area, and I've had short experience dating after my long marriage, and so I'm not really an expert on the subject, but I did notice that people all like to have fun, and dating at our stage of life should be an enjoyable situation. Mm-hmm. And I rather look towards the entertaining and the fun part of it rather than the differences between men and women. So I can't really answer your question in the context of which you presented it to me, but I'm just telling you what my short experience has been since I've been out in the world, so to speak. And I find a lot of different personalities. Very interesting, very, very, very interesting, and all different types, and so you what you have to do is to just find the type that you fit into and is best for you. The best way that I can answer that. I hope I'm not jabbering away, but
no, that's actually a great answer, and I. You know, it sounds to me like you look at it as, you know, two people meeting. It's not an us and them thing. It's not a you're this way and I'm that way, but just two people meeting. And
absolutely correct. Yeah. That's the way I think. And that's the way I love it, to be quite honest with you. I had a great time dating. I'm in a relationship now with somebody who I never expected to meet. Yep. So it's all fun. And I look at it from that point of view.
Great. I love it. Thank you, Norman. That's good because, you know, the idea of going out and being able to have a fun time dating is obviously really, it's just important. That's how you get to know people. So, okay, so here I have some more questions for you. And there's the three of you. I think we're going to be really fine with, if this is one of your favorite questions, go for it. You guys are just talk away. So here's this question. Do you want us to ask you out or call you? And if you do, when is it okay?
Can I jump in here fast with that?
Because
I was going out with a woman recently who stood on it, did not want to call. I believe I call most of the time, but she stood on principle to the point that she would not make the call, and it bothered me. We live in a world today. We're not living in the 1940s, and there's no and the phone goes both ways, and I was a little miffed about that. So I just wanted to put that in. So you guys can take
good.
It from where you want it.
Good. I actually, you know, I do have clients that, you know, read the rules. Remember that?
Oh, my God.
And they're still sticking to them. So,
that's a disastrous book. I hate that book.
It is. I'm with you on that. It has some points. But, yeah, so some of those, that's kind of the woman that Norman's talking about in a way. It's like, you know, you're the man, you call me. However, but what about calling, like, is there a time, for instance, like after the first date? Is it okay for them to call you if you haven't called them, or should they assume that, you know, you're just not that into them and it's not going to happen?
Well, you know what they say about assume, right?
Yes.
So, no, I say it's always good for the woman to call, and I would just open up that you're calling, but there's also how it feels to have to call. So, for instance, I would never want to have this superficial call where, you know, hi, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, hey, how are you? I wanted to call you up, and this is a little embarrassing because I don't do this very often, but I wanted to see if you felt the same way. You know, we're talking about feelings, right? Open it all the way up. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I want to know how you're feeling about the whole thing as well. But definitely, it's like, I believe that there's that, the same, another version of the same plateau here, the princess syndrome. No, one doesn't call one's suitors. And no, one doesn't pay for one's dates now, does one? That just totally pisses me off. But that's just me.
Yeah.
And this is Dyke talking.
We're gonna talk about paying for dates in just a minute, which is really interesting, which is good.
I agree with both Norman and Dyke. There's nothing wrong with a woman, because here's the thing: if we may not even notice someone, and I hear so many women say, "I'll never approach a guy," or "I'll never call a guy," and I don't understand that type of mentality. If you're interested in someone, let it be known that you're interested in it.
Hear, hear. I agree.
Good.
Right, and this doesn't happen as often, I don't think, to guys at all. But if the ladies that are women that are listening, it's like, remember the last time somebody approached you and I won't say hit on you, right? But said something nice to you and expressed their interest in you, and you weren't interested. I mean, how did it feel to you? You were still flattered, right? It was still cool. So, I say if you want something, you have to go for it. You have to ask. You have to put it out there. And I realize that's a potentially vulnerable place to be for a lot of people. But if you don't ask, you won't get, right?
That's what my dad says.
There is a notion that has continued to be passed down from generation to generation that if a woman asks a guy out, it will somehow turn the guy off because a guy needs to chase. He only wants to go and hunt. And I just think that's such BS.
Yeah, I agree.
So can I ask you guys something? At the risk of you telling me I'm wrong in front of everybody, but I'll go for it. Basically, what I tell my gals is that you should show interest but not take the lead. So I call it kind of like the clear come hither. So in other words, the idea of I'd really like to see you again, but not let's go out next Wednesday night.
I go along with that, Bobby. I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that it's a two-way street. Certainly I believe that the man should take the lead in a situation. But once the relationship starts and there's no reason why the communication can't go both ways.
Good. I like that. Hang on a second,
Bobby. Let's answer your question here. Yeah,
okay.
There's a difference between me saying I'm attracted to you or you saying you're attracted to me, and that then has me check out with myself whether it's mutual. That's sort of like a feeling thing. And then there's the logistics of how we want to express that to each other. So it's like, hey, I dig you. Do you dig me? It's like, wait a second. Yeah, I do dig you. It's like, okay, great. Since we dig each other, what do you want to do?
Perfect. Okay. Marcus?
No, I agree. I thought you wanted to move on. But yeah, I agree with both guys.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. But also, I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman asking a guy out either. So.
Okay. Do you think that's true of most guys, most grown-up men, that women asking them out is okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know any guy who goes, oh my God, that lady asked me out. I can't believe it.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who would see it as anything other than perfect.
I don't disagree. I agree with both the guys. Even though in my age category, we don't have a lot of situations like that. I basically agree with them.
Okay.
I find that I actually have a tinge more respect for a woman if she actually approaches me first. Like, okay, you've got some confidence. All right, this is cool.
Yeah, confidence is a turn on, isn't it?
It is.
Well, hang on a second. It also is what we just talked about being one of the biggest miscommunications between men and women. A woman who comes up and asks me out is telling me what she wants. I'm pretty confident she's going to continue to tell me what she wants, and we aren't going to have any of this stupid bullshit about me having to guess, right?
Very good.
Yeah,
right.
That's good. Okay, cool. Okay, so first dates. Okay, so some of you have, I don't know, has anyone dated online before, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, the first date, what I call the meet date. When you go on the meet date, who should pay?
I'm assuming that's M-E-E-T.
It's true. Well, kind of, yes, it is. In this case, it is, but it could be both. But my girls don't do that on the first date. Anyway, yeah, so when you do your first, like, let's have coffee, you know, and a Danish thing. Should we be reaching to our purses, or should we assume, or should we allow you to pay?
Should you allow the guy to pay? Sure, you should allow the guy to pay if he offers to pay. Yeah. But you know what? I would, you know, times have changed, and I would always tell any woman, just be prepared to cover yourself. Be prepared, and because you don't want to be in an awkward situation where, you know, the guy is expecting you to pay your part, or he's expecting you to pay.
Right.
And then, you know, everybody's looking at each other funny. I would say just be prepared, just in case. And then if you don't want to see him again after that, that's fine and dandy. But
good. Okay. So I've been told by a lot of men, and actually on a previous man panels that I've done, that especially on a meet date or a first date, that if a woman, like, sort of quickly reaches in her purse to pay, that it gives the man the impression that she doesn't want to go out with him again.
That's interesting.
Really?
I don't feel that way.
Me neither. I've never felt that way.
Interesting. Yeah, because the idea that, and this is actually true, a lot of women do that because they don't want to, quote unquote, owe you anything or feel bad when they say no to you for a second date.
Yeah, if we're talking about less than $20, Bobby, I don't feel any sense of obligation or weirdness, no matter who pays or we split or we talk about it or any of that kind of stuff.
Okay. Cool. Okay, let me move on to another question. What do you think about cats? When you see, like, on Facebook or on, you know, Match.com or something, you know, a girl with her cats, do you think one way or the other?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think something. Why are you in the picture with your cat?
Right? Because you just want to see her.
Hang on a second. I mean, let me give you an example. My son is in Australia, and he's 19 years old. And I'm trying to figure out what he's doing, right? So I'm finding people tagging him, Australian people tagging him in their pictures. And there was a woman who tagged him who's like 23, and she's an instructor. She has like 400 pictures on her Facebook page, and every single one of them she's holding a big plate of food and smiling. But she's never got a fork or anything in her mouth. This woman has an eating disorder you can see from a mile away. So if you've got pictures on your Match.com site and every single friggin' picture you got a cat in it, I'm going to start to wonder. But if you got one picture with your cat, it's probably something I won't even notice.
Okay. Good.
Great.
Good. Okay. All right. Here's another question. What qualities in a woman makes you choose her as a wife or girlfriend rather than just a playmate?
Depth.
Yeah.
Describe that for me.
Depth is, for me, transparent relation of how you're feeling. And being okay with telling me and being okay with me telling you how I'm feeling, too, right? And even if it's not pretty. So for me, it's about how the first argument goes.
Yes, I think that's really true. I think that, in fact, I know couples very specifically that had challenges at the beginning of their relationships, and because they had the nerve, I'm going to put that in air quotes, because they had the maturity to sit down and talk to one another about it, they not only cleared that up, but they realized, wow, we have great communication. I mean, it actually improved their relationship.
Well, I think that's a decent point. I think once people get into the nitty-gritty and start to learn about each other, and maybe you learn more in an argument than you do at just being polite. So, yeah, it's a good point.
Or discussion.
Yeah,
I've been with Larry 6 years. We've never had an argument.
Yeah, okay, I can understand that. I'm all for that.
Wow, you're way overdue.
That's what everyone tells us. They told us that after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. We talk, we just don't argue.
I really like feeling like I'm with someone who is not dependent on me, who is with me because they enjoy being with me.
Okay.
And doesn't need me, not needy, but wants me there. Doesn't need me there, but wants me there. Has her own life, her own interests. But loves including me and all that.
And you mentioned confidence before. Is that something, too, that makes a difference in,
absolutely.
Sure, it's everything.
Everything.
Absolutely.
Okay.
A confident woman is not a needy woman.
Right. But that doesn't mean she doesn't need you, correct?
No.
Pardon me?
Not, of course. No. It certainly doesn't mean that. She can need you as well and still be confident. No question about it.
Perfect.
Well, and I think that the word confidence is maybe a little intimidating, and it doesn't reflect completely what I think about when I think about the word confidence. I think of it as being clear on what you want. Again, we go back to this "what do you want" thing. You can be really clear on what you want and not confident on how to get it, but it's the clarity that, for me, is attractive.
Yeah.
Knowing who you are and knowing what you want. And knowing what you're willing to do to go get that, you don't have to have a lot of confidence, but the clarity comes through really loud and clear.
Good. Really good information. Thank you. Here's another one. Why do you guys disappear after a really good date? Why do we...
It wasn't a really good date.
Why do we sit with you for 2 hours and talk and, you know, eat and have fun and, you know, think there's like this big connection, and then you say, okay, I'll call you, and then we never hear from you again?
It wasn't a really good date.
or maybe it was a good date, but you gave off the "you're my buddy" vibe, as opposed to "you're somebody who I'd like to be in a relationship" vibe.
Oh, how do you find, what is the buddy vibe to you? Like, what does that look like?
That I can't pinpoint, but you know what, it's like,
you know,
the,
when you see it?
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's like the way you treat your gay friends. Gay male friends.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So.
But you know what, Bobby? I think women feel the same way. Right? I think women feel the same way about guys, and they go out on a date, and they may, you know, oh, he's a nice guy, he's really cool, but something about him just doesn't click for me. You can't really pinpoint that whole chemistry thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of thinking is done afterwards, and sometimes you go over it in your mind, and you go over the date, and you think about it for a while, and you think about it for a while, and then you may get waylaid in another area of your life, and that's very possible that could be what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a date is a date is a date, and sometimes they consummate in more than one and maybe into a relationship, and sometimes they don't. They can be good, but for some reason, it just doesn't come to a second date.
Well, and I want to say something really powerful here, too, in terms of, you know, this question to me is kind of weird, because all you got do to get the answer to that question.
Don't call us weird. Every woman thinks this. Don't call us weird.
Well, hang on a second, but it's kind of weird from my standpoint, okay? It's like, if you really have that question, you can pick up the phone, too, and get an answer to it in a matter of minutes.
Really? So, okay, so that's a good. That's good. So we have a date we think is great. We think we connect, and we don't.
And you sit there waiting and wondering, and you don't pick up the phone. That's just weird. If you want to know, call.
So what do we say when we call?
Say, hi, this is Bobby.
Yeah,
I had a great time the other night, and I noticed that you haven't called me back. Now, there's this man-woman thing that who's supposed to call. So I'm calling, and I'm saying, what did you think about our date the other night? I thought it was very cool. What did you think? Because I want to know what you're feeling. Because personally, I'd really like to see you again if you're thinking you had a really good time, too.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Very strange, sure.
I like it.
Oh my God, that is so sexy. I'm not kidding. That is so sexy. To be communicated with that clearly. Of course, it's like having a boyfriend, but you know, what can I say?
Well, see, that's
so
the thing.
Sexy, you go out the second date.
That's the thing is that sort of you know, feel like a friend thing. Sometimes it's that masculine energy that we put out that I think affects your desire to want to see us again. So confidence can go overboard.
Well, and what I'm talking about right now, again, I don't see it. This is just me, though. And this is Dyke talking again. I don't see it as confidence. I see it as clarity and a request from clarity from the other side. Because when the phone's not ringing, you're not clear what's going on. So the quickest way I know to get an answer to that question, because otherwise what happens is the voice starts talking in the back of my head and I start feeling really bad about it. Did I do something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? I mean, I can hear the internal tapes go with guys too, right?
A little, yeah.
And the what I'm looking for is clarity. So it's like, hey, I really dug you the other night. I'm calling because I waited for a while and hoped that you would call, but maybe that's just, you know, just weirdness on my part, so I'm calling. I want to know whether you dug me that night.
Huh. So,
what do you mean by masculine energy?
masculine energy, like 5 minutes into the date, telling you all about our high-powered jobs.
Is that masculine energy? Yes, it is.
Huh.
I
don't mind it.
Well, and Bobby, what I'll say, too, is I'll bet you that date that you thought went great, you were doing the female equivalent of that.
What? Tell me, say that a different way?
The date you thought went great, where you spent 2 hours together and had this wonderful time out, right, and they don't call back, and what you actually said a second ago was, and we never see you again?
Mm-hmm.
There was a fundamental miscommunication there. You were having a great time and he wasn't, and you missed it. And that's the female equivalent of what you just described on the guy side, where a guy 5 minutes into a date starts talking about himself and his mm-hmm. high-powered job. There's a miscommunication there as well. Mm-hmm. I just think it happened in the flip side of that on the date that you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Have any of you been in relationships or are in relationships where it did start with the woman being sort of the calling you?
Absolutely.
Or? Yes.
And so you're not.
Can I give you some specific examples?
Right on that?
Yeah. Do you want some specific examples?
Yeah, real quick.
I'll be happy to.
Real quick.
Okay, great. So my second marriage, which lasted 24 years, came to an end just a couple of years ago. I still love this woman. We have two great kids. I was an intern in the hospital. Her aunt was a patient on a rotation I was on, and she walked up right to me at the nurse's station. I was facing away from her. She tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, and she said, I'm new in town. Would you like to take me out sometime?
Cool.
And my current girlfriend connected with me on LinkedIn. Hadn't seen each other in 30 years, and she connected with me on LinkedIn and said, hey, it's Teresa. You remember me.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good.
And I'm actually dating someone now who did the same thing. I met through one of my best friends at a party, and then months later, she found me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a nice way to connect. I mean, picking up, I got to say, honestly, you guys, picking up the phone and calling a guy, whether it goes back to forever with, you know, we have that thing, that sort of old-fashioned feeling about it maybe, but guys, you really are the exceptions of guys that I've talked to about wanting us to pick up the phone and call you first or right after the first date. I do have clients that date men and after like the second date or something will say, hey, can you please call me, right? Because he's called her 5 times, but usually not after doesn't get in touch after the first date.
Well, let me just say, I'm not saying that I want that. I'm saying there's not anything wrong with it. It doesn't bother me, and it's actually kind of appealing.
So if it was somebody you didn't want to go out with, you would just let her know then?
Sure, I would.
Yeah.
You have a number of different ways of letting them know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't feel that it's any kind of a dispersion on their personality, so to speak, to pick up a phone and make a call. I really don't.
Well, okay. And if we think about the guy side, right? If I dug somebody on a date, I would never wait for them to pick up the phone and call me.
Yeah, me too.
Never.
I let them know right away.
Never, ever, ever.
See, that's actually a good point. So if you're, this is a question I'll ask in regards to that. How do we know if you're into us?
Well, I mean, I think you can basically tell if there's chemistry, if two people are interested in one another and are having a good time, that's the beginning.
That's an interesting question, because I would always think that it's fairly evident if the guy's interested.
I think so, too.
Guys are not, I hate to generalize, but guys are not women in that they're going to try to play this coy game of cat and mouse and trying to be a mystery and have, no, if we're interested, you'll know, because we want you to know.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I usually say something. And secondly, you can always ask, and I'm okay with that. This is Dyke again, right? So
yeah, we know. so the guy that, see, this is sort of where I'm getting a disconnect. So if you're really into somebody, you're going to call it right away. But after 2 weeks, if you're not calling us after a date, we should pick up the phone and call you?
I wouldn't even wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks is a bit long, Bobby.
I had a good date. I wouldn't wait 2 weeks.
Okay.
I would say this: if you had a great time, and if, as you think back, it looked like he was having a great time, and you haven't heard from him in 48 hours, I'd be picking up that phone.
I agree.
And odds are, you were mistaken on what he was feeling.
Right. So why would I pick up the phone, though?
Well, why wouldn't you? So you got a confirmation of how he felt. At least you're not sitting there waiting.
Huh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're leaving yourself up on tender hooks by not making the call. You're just torturing yourself.
Yeah, why is it incumbent on anybody to have to make the call? If you feel like a question is unanswered, then pick up the phone and make the call.
Sure.
Okay. Great. I'm going to have my girls call you.
There you go.
Only if they've been out on a date with me.
Oh, that's different. Okay, cool. This is really, really good. So this may not apply to you guys, and I understand it, but I'm hoping that you have some insight into this. What's with the older man, younger woman thing?
I personally don't understand it. I was single for a couple of years after my marriage ended a couple of years ago, and I actually couldn't stand dating younger women. It drove me absolutely crazy. And
I have to agree. I'm an older guy. I was on a dating service. I had a lot of interest from younger women. I felt that the whole ball game here in terms of a relationship is communication, and I really didn't think that I had anything in common. I went out with some terrific younger women, much younger, and had some great dates. And in the end, I just told them, I said, listen, I'm just not interested. We're coming from a different place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Dyke and Norma. There's not a whole lot of, and I'm not, you know, that old, I don't think. But I'm not interested in really going out with, you know, a 20-year-old in any way, shape, or form. Although, I will say that as a guy, being a visual creature, there is appeal to checking out, you know, certain women who are, you know, sort of the starlets. You know, there is a certain visual appeal to that. So I can't lie and say that's not part of it. But I don't know.
I don't know
how many of those relationships are actually, you know, built on anything substantive to
right.
be completely honest with.
We look at young guys too, guys, so, you know.
Well, absolutely. What I'll say too is there's, in my mind, Bobby, there's okay. absolutely nothing sexier than a 50-year-old woman in the best shape she's ever been in her life, single, and is knows what she wants.
Nice.
There is nothing sexier than that, in my mind.
Great. That is really good to know. Now, do you guys know any men that are into the young chicks?
Well, I lump those guys in with the same guys who are 350 pounds and have an Asian wife. You know, it's like there's something about them that is not, in my mind, there's something about them that is not respectful to the woman. It's an objectifying thing, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like they call it what, isn't that a trophy wife or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's perfect. I love that. Hey, ladies, by the way, you can go ahead and use our Facebook page or my personal Facebook page or our group Facebook page if you want to communicate with us. I'm finally figuring that out. Okay. That was really good information. Thank you. See, you know, so many women, when we hop online on Match.com, and I do say we because this was my experience for a really long time. And we, you know, one thing I used to look at, and I tell other women to look at, is the age range that you guys are looking for, right? So if I'm looking at a man who's, you know, 53 years old, and his age range is like 25 to 50, then right, then I'm going to go, yeah, not for me. But I think the fact is that this is just my theory. I want to check it with you. I think this is the little part of the fantasy of guy that he probably really, a lot of these guys probably wouldn't date 25-year-olds, but the idea of being able to do it sort of turns them on.
And the wealthier they are, the more likely they are to actually be able to do it.
Well, that's
exactly.
true. That's true. So it's really sort of an urban legend that older men, all the older men want the younger women, because what you're telling me is what I hear from almost every man.
I don't buy into that at all.
Yeah.
Right, and I would challenge you to find any 50-year-old guy married to a 25-year-old woman who is not wealthy.
Yeah, and then these guys, they're just looking for arm candy.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not looking for relationships, because there can't really be any synchronization between people of that difference in age.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to move on to sex. Woohoo! Talk about sex. So, if you met a woman who, you know, a lot of the women, for instance, that I work with are widowed, for instance, and haven't dated for a really long time, and the idea that part of the relationship can be, you know, somewhat challenging, really scary. So if you meet a woman who says to you, you know, I'm not going to have sex with you for a month or, you know, for a little while, what's your reaction to that?
What's a little while?
Yeah, fair question. Like, you know, 5 or 6 dates, probably. Maybe even more.
Well, for me, I don't mind waiting on someone who is, well, there's sort of a game with sex that I think some women play. And if it's just who you are, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't know when I'm going to be ready, but I just want to get to know you. before I do anything, that's fine, that's fair. But if it's one of those deals where I'm not going to have sex with you until we go on 4 dates,
yeah.
Because if I do it on the first date, you won't respect me. I'm like, ah, then you're just playing games.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it's the rules again.
It's the rules again. I think that's complete bunk.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that. But generally speaking, I think that the feeling is wanting to actually be able to know that you're in a committed relationship.
I think you're right. I agree. I think it's a natural situation. I don't think that you should really put any time limits on it. I think when it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what about if it's for religious reasons?
That's fair, too.
That's interesting. And if it's for religious reasons, it's fair game. It's open.
But, you know, this is about communication. This goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
Which is, okay. Patty, I'm not sure about your question. Okay, so Patty asked a question. Waiting to have sex when you are exclusive, okay, regardless of how many dates. Oh, so yeah, I think she's asking, like, basically, I'm not going to have sex with you until you tell me that we're exclusive and there's potential for our relationship. That's realistic,
totally
right?
Fair.
That's
I think
fair.
It's legitimate, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Although, I will say this, I have to put a damper on that whole thing. A guy can tell you that you're exclusive.
Yeah.
And
you may not necessarily be. But he may say that just to get the sex.
Okay, so what happened to, oh, we're all mature and it's not like that anymore? And that's interesting to me. But not the good guys, yes?
Some
guys would.
Mark, he's not discussing himself.
Oh, okay.
About somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, don't you pretty much assume that anybody you're interested in having a long-term relationship with is a good guy. I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah, it does happen for sure.
You can say anything, so
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Okay. Sorry, I had to throw that one in. Okay, so what is there, what does a... I think, Dyke, you kind of addressed this a little bit, but as a 50-year-old woman, you talked about, like, you know, you're looking for confidence, you're looking for, and this may just be reviewing, you're looking, Mike, the question that I'm trying to ask is, that I'm stuttering about is, how does a 50-year-old woman attract men? Because she, and the reason that I have that question, somebody gave me that question to ask, is because it assumes you guys want the younger girls.
Oh, well, is that correct?
And which is not correct, right?
Correct.
So, but I'm hearing from you what I've heard so far is she attracts you by being confident. She attracts you by being direct. She attracts you by showing interest. What else?
She attracts you any way that anybody of any age would attract.
Yeah.
Why would her age make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The way she looks, the way she talks, all those things.
So I'm standing in line at Starbucks, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the person next to me, I don't care who it is, man or woman, young or old, says something funny or relevant, and when I look at them, they look me right in the eyes, right? And we can have a 30-second conversation, and if that's something that I do a couple of times in the matter of a couple of days with somebody, they're totally on my radar. And they're completely different than anybody else in that coffee shop because of their ability to look me in the eye and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that energy, that energetic connection is attractive.
Mm.
You could ask me out, and I would say yes. Not right now, because I'm in a committed relationship. You could ask me out, and I would say yes, because you are intriguing. And I don't know whether that means you're confident or not. Certainly you were, if we want to use the word confident, you were able to break the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's no different than looking a checkout person at Walmart in the eyes and asking what kind of day they're having and connecting with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the connection I'm talking about.
I think, Bobby, goes back to what you were saying before about women thinking that guys want younger women. I just don't think that that's necessarily the case in a general sense. And there's, I mean, a woman is a woman is a woman. And she's if she's attractive, if she has something about her from a personality standpoint that guys are interested in, she's always going to attract guys.
Mm-hmm. And do you look for the...
She's not competing with 25-year-old women. She's just not.
Absolutely correct. And it's up to her to make herself attractive, no matter what age she is.
So what does this also include, you know, sort of eye contact, being positive, you know, the friendliness part? I mean, just being open and friendly, right?
Well, and I want to point out that most of the time in any relationship, you're not actually having sex. So I think that's why the age difference is a turnoff to me, because most of the time when I'm with somebody, we're having conversation. Sex may take up, you know, less than a half of a percent of the total amount of time we spend together. And if I'm cracking jokes about Monty Python and the Holy Grail and you don't know what I'm talking about, that's kind of tough. So I'm not necessarily looking for somebody who can't, who I have no way to relate to them, right?
Except for
and there's a certain level of talking about our feelings that comes when we're 50 that we don't have when we're 40 or 30 or 20.
No question.
That's important because it does, especially for men, but I think that a lot of us hold on to women, we hold on to that idea, like I said earlier, about, you know, the high school guy and, you know, the old ideas about men can't communicate and men don't have feelings and, you know, you can't ask, you know, that especially with men like yourself who are mature and accomplished, that's just not true anymore. You're evolved.
Well, and that may be a very important distinction to make. If your original experiences of dating and getting your heart broken were in high school, your appreciation of what a man is and how a man thinks may actually be built on a high school foundation, and that's just not true for a 50-year-old guy.
Right. Wow. That was absolutely my problem.
That's a major problem because those values are completely turned around 180 degrees. People have to really realize there are plenty of people that are still living back in high school.
Do you ever find somebody, I've got an echo, somebody's got their computer on. Do you ever find women... let me just ask you this. So, in general, this is a generalized statement. What elements of a woman's personality, or what might she do that would just really turn you off?
Negativity. Just somebody. There are some people who are just who see the world, see the glasses half empty on a regular basis, and it would drive me crazy.
And I say the same thing, only I call it being a victim. So if they're blaming, justifying, and complaining the whole time we're together and I'm supposed to listen to that shit, that ain't going to work for me.
I agree.
And the second one for me is princess.
Expectations?
Like I'm to be adored and put on a pedestal. I never drive anywhere. You always pay. You always call.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not even appreciated. It's absolutely expected, it's this. Oh, I call it princess.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, the feeling of entitlement to the because I'm a woman, you do X, Y, Z.
And so if she doesn't do that, I usually do all those things.
Well, you know, there's one other thing that I've noticed. I actually, and this is just something that I've actually thought about over the past 10 years or so, trying to change me, trying to make me do things differently, I am who I am at this point in my life, so that's got to be accepted.
What might make you feel I'm afraid to ask you guys this actually to tell you the truth. What might make you feel pressured in a relationship? So let's say, you know, you're not exactly, she's ahead of you and she's wanting to become exclusive, let's say, and you haven't brought it up yet. So what would you want her to say, if anything at all? Over and above, I want to be exclusive. How would that make you feel if she did that?
I wouldn't feel pressured by it. I think that it was just an expression of what she wanted. You have to be comfortable enough in any relationship to deal it on the plateaus and in the direction of where it goes. It has to take its natural course. Mm-hmm. And it has to take its natural course for two people. There's no time. There should be no time limit on it.
I agree with Norman 100%. There's no pressure. I think as a guy, we probably expect that conversation is going to happen at some point anyway after you've been seeing each other for a while. I don't think there's pressure in that.
Have you ever dated somebody that you were friends with first?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Not me, I haven't.
So that transition does take place for men.
Sure. I mean, and the results of those types of relationships, I don't think are any different from any other relationship. I mean, the success rate of those relationships is, I don't think, any different from any other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though you might think that they'd be, you might think there's a better chance they'd survive, but I just come to find they're just like any other.
Kind of the same. What do you think when you meet a woman? I'm just throwing these out. I love this. By the way, you guys are great. You guys are just awesome. What do you think when you meet a woman who's, let's say, in her late 40s, early 50s, who's never been married?
I don't think anything at all based on just that.
No presumptions?
No. Heck no.
No, I wouldn't either. Not at this stage. Not in this day and age. It wouldn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't learn that. That's not the first thing that would come out of her mouth, right? So I would have gotten to know this person, and we maybe have gone out on a date, and I would know whether I like her or not. I would know whether there's chemistry, and then she would throw that in there at some point in time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't affect what I had already felt for her. It would be, oh, wow, that's interesting. And I would have a whole bunch of questions. I'd want to know a bunch of things, but I don't think it would cause me to doubt the feelings I had before I knew that little tidbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bobby, I missed the questions. So.
What would you think, if anything, would you think of a woman who had not married in her late 40s, early 50s?
Oh, okay.
Had never been married. So do you ever ask, does the question come up? Women like me, right, I was 47. Women like me, oh, my gosh, when I was dating pretty much after late 30s, I got the question constantly. And men did know because I was online, because they get the information online. So I always get the question, like, at the beginning of the date, the meet date. So you've never been married before. Why not? And almost every woman I work with that has that same situation gets asked that question by men every time. And we take it as, what's wrong with you? He's trying to find out what's wrong with us because, you know, we haven't been married. So I'm wondering if that perception on our part is just all in our heads, or if it's really coming, that's really what they're meaning.
Yeah, I don't think that they mean what's wrong with you. It's obviously, well, I would make this something that's been, it's been a deliberate decision to not get married, whether you've just, you know, chosen to put a career first, or you've chosen to not marry certain guys. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with you, but it's I would ask, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would, in my opinion, I don't think that the right kind of a guy would be, thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people out there that would ask that question and they would probably think that there is a stigma to attach to it, but mm-hmm. I think that they're probably the wrong kind of guys for you in that regard.
Yeah.
When women get asked that question, I teach them a way to deflect it, to answer it, which is basically what you said, Marcus. It was a deliberate decision. That's where my life has taken me.
Yeah.
And now I'm really looking forward to doing it.
Because I think guys get asked that question sometimes, too.
I'm sure they do. Oh, listen, I can't tell you how many clients I have, and you all, you ladies who are listening, know who you are, who are like in their late 40s, early 50s, maybe never been married, but when they're online looking at you guys, they're like, ooh, that guy's 47 and has never been married. What's wrong with him?
I tend to think it's more of a stigma for a guy than it is for a woman.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we want it. This is the one thing that I think you participating in this and being so gracious in doing this, the idea that, excuse me, that we really are so much alike, right? I mean, we think we're so different, especially.
Yeah, no question.
You know, I know we confuse each other sometimes, and we don't think the same, and we don't process the same, both thoughts and feelings. But from what I'm hearing throughout this conversation is, you know, you guys want a nice woman who is comfortable with, who knows what she wants in life and who's accomplished and who's a good communicator and is positive. And you want to be honest with one another. And I don't know, I think that's what most women want.
Yeah.
Right?
I've always believed that we all want the same thing. So.
Yeah. It's just interesting how it's like the mind reading thing. That's always the answer to the question of what drives you, you know, what you wish we knew better, that you guys can't read minds.
Listen, there's no question that there are emotional differences, but nevertheless, the value systems are basically the same.
That's a great thing that you brought up. Tell me a little bit about the idea of emotion. Like, you know, if you were with somebody early on, and she got emotional, she showed emotion, not necessarily toward you, but emotion like maybe some, oh, I can't think of, you know, insecurity even. What if she showed you some insecurity, you know, on your second, third date? How do you feel, let me word it differently, like just how does it feel for you How does it feel for you to be in our presence when we're being emotional?
It isn't a question of that. It would show me something that basically would be a little bit of a turnoff to me. I like calm, stable women. That's the kind of a woman that I was married to for all those years, and she was low-key, she was calm. She didn't get rattled in a lot of situations. That impresses me. Mm-hmm. If somebody got upset about something that went overboard a little bit, it would be a turnoff to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like drama.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that it would be a turnoff. This is Dyke again. Because
somebody's
in some
echoing.
Cases,
if you could check your microphones, you guys.
Yeah, it's not me. If somebody's got a great big heart, they're going to show some emotion too. But when I notice the emotion energetically, or if I can see it happening, I'm going to say what's up, and I'm going to be really interested in what you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because I'm inclined to primarily agree with Norm with that. I don't, negative emotion, I guess, is the thing that would be the biggest turnoff. If somebody's, you know, perpetually happy or in a good mood or in good spirits or positive, or, you know, kind of sees things from the bright side more often than not, then that is a turn on. But there are women who, you know, we talk about women being high maintenance and that's usually attached to material things, but there are women who are emotionally high maintenance, and It can exhaust you.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
It exhausts us too, by the way. Yeah. So basically, you know, it sounds to me like you want a woman to come to you and say, hey, here's how I'm feeling, here's what's going on, but rather than the, you know, calling you and going, why haven't you called me? You know, that kind of thing. Or kind of like being pouting or, you know, giving you the silent treatment or, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, no, I want it straight out front. And I agree with the clarity situation. I think it's very important.
Well, and for me, it's about we're using words like clarity and I like the word transparency. It's like whenever there's those kind of, rather than play a game, figure out what has not been communicated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
That's a very, very good point, and that's a major point in a relationship.
We're almost out of time. I went a little bit longer since we started a little late. I wanna switch specifically to dating, and I know that like for instance, like you're not dating now, of course, but you did for a long time. You're talking to women who are fantastic. I mean, you're talking to women who are really smart, who are compassionate, who are loving, who are fun, who are beautiful, and they're looking for love. They want to bring the love of a man into their lives, but they're just not. They're not doing it yet. So what advice would you give her as a woman that's out there dating?
Let me start. Well,
yeah, Marcus, so go ahead.
The one piece of advice that I would give is to, no matter what, make sure you continue to be yourself and don't go for a lot of it goes back to the rules. Like, don't try to play a lot of games. Don't try to do a lot of manipulation. Just be who you are, because the right guy will respond to you, as opposed to, some facades you may put on for your short term just to hook them. Just be who you are.
Mm-hmm. I think that they should do as much dating as possible and enjoy it until they meet the kind of guy that's for them. But they should enjoy the dating that they do. They should look at every date not as if a Prince Charming is coming along, but as to just go out and have a good time. Eventually, I think they'll meet the right guy.
Such good advice.
Well, and I would say be clear on what you want, because if you're not clear on what you want, you'll end up getting stuck in your fears of what you don't want to have happen on a date. And for me, it was always about, and this is for me, and I'm imagining it works well for the woman in the coupling too. Is like, be open, be clear, be transparent, and have boundaries. Right? There are certain things that are a turn off, and certain things you won't do, and that kind of stuff. But and then you just get in the game, right? It's like date a bunch of people. But one of the things I always did was on the online dating. So, for instance, on eHarmony, you can fill out this great big profile.
Yes.
I did not accept any inbound connections from anybody who hadn't filled out the profile absolutely completely, and you could tell they were playing it 100%.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And my dates were 100% wonderful off of eHarmony, because if anybody left even one question blank or half-assed it, I eliminated them. They had to be playing all out 100% on the profile before I would say yes.
Hmm. So good to hear. We think it's, you know, honestly, sometimes we think we're trying so much harder, and, you know, and the fact is that anyone, men and women, who are serious about finding a really good life partner, they're trying really hard. They're serious. They're playing with everything.
If you're looking for a life partner and you want to meet somebody who's looking for a life partner, those are not the people who are looking to just hook up. They're the people who are playing it 100%.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. And I love eHarmony. I think it's a great site. And a lot of quality people are on that site. And I agree with you that the full profile is needed. And you can really find out a lot about the people before you even go out with them. And then when you do, of course, you start the whole process and take it to its to fruition. But yeah, it's a great area.
And you found your current gal on eHarmony, right?
Yes, I did.
Current gal, you like what I call that?
My what?
I don't want to slap any labels for you on it for you.
Yeah, she's a pretty terrific lady.
Yeah. I'll vouch. So one more thing about online dating, and then we'll wrap up. Most of my friends and clients are online looking for men. So what's your advice about their profiles and their pictures? No caps?
Oof.
Marcus, I know you don't like cats. Why don't you go first?
Well, as far as pictures go, I always say make sure there is a picture, a good picture of you, a headshot, a body shot, and to try not to take too many pictures with other women, especially women, I hate to say it, especially women who might be a little bit better looking than you.
And don't use the one where you've clipped your husband off the side.
Yeah. And no shade.
Men do that so often, clip their exes off.
Oh, that's no ridiculous. It's
I know, it's crazy. And what about the I always hear and I always advise that you want a headshot and a body shot, because if we don't put a body shot in there, you make assumptions.
You know, maybe. I don't think it's the most important thing, but you do have to put a decent picture of yourself in there. I mean, I've gotten some pictures of people on eHarmony that I don't know how they had the nerve to put these pictures on the site. And I wonder why they do that. It's crazy. Put a decent picture of yourself. You don't have to be the greatest looking person in the world, but a decent picture of what you look like. That's what's most important.
Cool.
And I would say that if you don't put a picture of your body, I'm assuming you have a problem with your body, whether or not I do.
That's a good
or not.
I love that. That's such a good statement. It's a great way to put it. So, because there are tons of women that have gorgeous bodies who are uncomfortable with them,
let me ask the other guys this, because I've never had a forum like this either. Hey guys. when you think back on the women that you've been in love with and the women that you've had as partners and girlfriends, have they always been exactly the same body type? Or have you loved and been attracted to multiple different body types?
Multiple. I've been attracted to multiple different body types.
All kinds.
Are you hearing this? Now I think that women have this image that we're looking for one little Barbie doll, right?
Yep. Yep.
And I'm saying it's what is it? It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean. It's not your body conforming to some preconceived notion that we hold as an individual man. It's how you energize the body you have so that it is attractive to us. And it can be any one of a number of different shapes for any individual man.
Yep.
Did you all hear that? that's so meaningful to us. Thank you for sharing that. It's so meaningful.
I mean, I've loved and dated women who are anywhere from 105 pounds to almost 200 pounds.
Yeah. I just had one of the gals on Facebook wrote, fantastic exclamation point. Because that's a big hang up for us. If we think we're not, you know, perfect, like, and there's no such thing. Okay. Anything else?
Guys have body issues too, Bobby, so.
Yes. Yes. You know, I have to say, many moons ago, I dated somebody that was the skinniest person I've ever known in my life. And as a woman who's far from skinny, I always said, I'll never date a skinny guy because he'll make me feel really, you know, really fat. And he had just as many issues about his body as I did, for sure. It was just the opposite. But as a skinny man, he felt the same way. And the women that are listening know this. A lot of us look online and we say, oh, we don't want a skinny guy. So it goes all different ways.
Yeah, but notice why you don't want the skinny guy. I mean,
hang
on a second. I walk in the door and I'm skinny and I'm making you feel something? Come on,
yes,
that's pretty
are.
Screwed up.
No, you are. it's you. Okay, this is really fun. Okay, we have to wrap up, and I want to, I can't really express to you guys how helpful this has been. I'm going to pause just one more second and see if anybody else has any final comments, that anybody else that's listening there's several gals out there listening. If you have any final comments, get on Facebook, get on the Mastering Mystery of Men Facebook page or in my Facebook page. And, okay, so they're saying thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this is really great. And please know that if you're ever looking for fabulous women, I'm going to have them call you. Okay, not. I forgot you have to go on a date first.
Well, and you know, back when you said the date where you had a great time and a two-hour meal and he never called you back,
yeah.
I'm thinking that date was a jump, too. There weren't enough little dates before the big one.
Yes. You shouldn't do the 2 hours right up front. Thank you. Maybe they'll listen to you because they don't listen to me when I tell them that.
Oh, really?
Not so much.
That's great. I completely agree. You should have a couple of little small coffee meetups or something before you go on the big one.
Yeah. Because, yes. And what happens is people overshare.
And you don't get stuck with somebody for 2 hours who you don't think you're going to enjoy.
That's true. Okay.
You need the timeout signal, right?
Amen.
or that
emergency phone call. Oh, I've got to go. I just got this call.
I have to tell you, when Larry and I met, he said, let's have coffee, and if we don't gross each other out, we'll have lunch. And so we had coffee, and then at some point he said, so are you grossed out? And I said, no, and he said, great, let's go have lunch.
I love the way he sets the bar so low. That's awesome.
Hey, what does that mean about me? Yeah, no, I thought it was perfect because it was like you're going to communicate after, a half hour, you'll communicate and say, yeah, you think it'll go anywhere? So we said, we think it might go somewhere, so...
Yeah, but he made it simple. Gross, not gross.
Exactly. But then he married me. He's still working on it. Okay.
Gross.
Guys, thank you again. You are incredibly generous and incredibly brilliant. And I want to give one last plug. I want to give a plug to straight male friends, Marcus, and he's got his cohorts. They do parties, they give advice, they do radio shows. It's a really great organization. And Dyke, do you want to give us your web address?
Yeah, my website is 3hourmidlifecrisis.com.
So, right? So Dyke is for those of you that have done the guided imagery recordings, Dyke is the gentleman that does those recordings. That's one of his many, many talents. But right now he helps people really just break out and have a fantastic second part of their life. So definitely check out his website. Okay.
Yeah.
And Norman?
Yes, my dear?
Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't have anything I want to plug.
He's
I just enjoyed it very much, and thank you for the opportunity.
I loved it. Thank you so much. And thanks to you, Marcus. Thanks, Dyke.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us on. We had a good time, right, guys?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I could actually do this another hour, but I better not. So, okay, have a great day, and I love you all. Thank you so much, you guys.